good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Rock the Vote Native Style here on Civic Media all over Turtle Island. This is a production of Native Roots Radio, and this will be our last Rock the Vote till this cycle is over, and we'll be probably back in 2 years. But hey, I want to get to our guest right away because she's out working hard as always. North Dakota State Representative Ruth Buffalo, thank you so much. I know you're busy, and I thank you so much for stopping in and talking to people and getting the vote out there.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So what do you feel like is the most important thing that's happening in this election? What is your deep feeling on why people need to get out and vote and get out and vote now?
Well, like any election, we need to... can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Okay. I think, you know, with any election, we need to show up. And so there are a lot of important issues on the ballot. In North Dakota, we have two different measures. Measure one is term limits, and measure two is recreational marijuana. I'm up for re-election, so essentially there are four of us, myself and three other men, competing for one of two seats, and the top two vote-getters get in. And so I'm sitting outside one of the poll locations, and polling locations. We just came from one other polling location that was completely packed, and that is in District 27. The Calvary United Methodist Church has a very long line outside, and the parking lot is packed. So people are voting. Many people say this is a good sign. So we hope that the results will be in our favor.
That's excellent. You know, and again, I know you're one of the hardest workers and not you're what is called a doer. And I really appreciate you stopping in. And well, good luck. And I know you will do a great job. Again, any last thoughts before I let you go? I know you're so busy, and we're with North Dakota State Rep Ruth Buffalo.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we have to encourage people to get out and vote. I've been canvassing today since 12:30 and coming across even first-time voters and giving information. I've even had people say, oh, when is the vote? When is election day? Oh, today is election day, you know? So a broad range of responses, but it's fun. It's exciting. And I hope that people get to the polls. You know, if you are in line and it's still close to 7 o'clock, don't leave the line, stay in line. But polling locations are scheduled to close at 7:00. But if you are in the line, please stay in the line. But yeah, it's busy, it's exciting, and we hope that everything works out in our favor. So
I predict a blue tsunami, and you'll be reelected. That's my prediction, and I've never been wrong about these predictions.
Okay.
But then I've only made one prediction before. Thank you so much for stopping in, and I know you're really busy, and good luck. I know you won't need it. You're just a great person in our community, and all of our Turtle Island people know you, and I really appreciate you stopping in and saying those good words.
Yes, thank you. And the little description there, it's District 27, North Dakota State House Rep. So thanks so much for your support, and have a good night. Thank you for having me.
Peeny Gigi, thanks for coming in, Ruth. Good luck. We'll see you soon.
All right. We'll see you.
Wow. Ruth Buffalo, Ogama. She's a doer. It was great having her on real quick to fire up the troops, so to speak, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so that was my bad. I accidentally had Ruth Buffalo for District 4 in North Dakota instead of District 27 because
Heather Keeler's District 4, right?
Heather yeah. Keeler's District 4, and I may have, you know, reborrowed a banner. So apologies for that, Representative Buffalo. But we are putting down good thoughts for you over here in Minnesota. That photo of her, that first time she got elected, is so iconic.
Definitely. Sorry about cutting in. I just wanted to get her on real quick. She's a doer, and she's just a great person. We're doing Rock the Vote Native Style here on election night, and I didn't introduce the show or anything. I just wanted to get the state representative of North Dakota on. But we're going to have Heather Keeler on later, and she's going to have Athena Hollins and Cedric Frazier on as guests, who are really supporters of treaties. And we're just going to try and get the vote out. We have a few calls out for people that might be calling in, too. So we'll see what's happening. And then later on, I'll be on Matt McNeil's show. I'll be down probably downtown St. Paul where the big party is going to be for the win. So I'm excited about that. And then I'm going to call in Devil's Radio because I just love those guys in Madison. And we're all over the Civic Media Network, and we're really happy to be Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really anxious and excited as we come into the midterm elections and, you know, waiting to see the results of this because even though the results don't have, you know, maybe some immediate effects, they will have some effects down the line. And I keep thinking of it like, you know how they used to have those email chains and now they're on social media and they're like, if you don't share this post, it's going to be 8 years of bad luck. And I want to tell everybody who isn't voting today that it's going to be 4 years of bad luck at least if you don't go and vote today. So please go vote. Go vote then, people. Like, get to the polls. They're open until 7 p.m. in North Dakota and 8 p.m. in Minnesota and Wisconsin. I don't know every state's polling time, but if you go to nativevote.org, you should be able to find your information nationally for all states in the U.S. And what the where to register and all of those things that you may need to know. Robert, should we share a couple of the tips that Nancy said yesterday about voting in person?
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, Ogama, good call, is that if you are in line, and let's talk about Minnesota specifically because that's where we are. If you are in line and it's a long line, stay in line. They have to let you vote. Don't turn around and leave and go, oh, my God, the line's too big. That's a good problem. Be part of the solution and wait in line. It's like waiting for – nowadays it's like waiting to get into any arena because you have to wait forever to get in, whether it's people frisking you down or whatever because of safety. But just think you're going to a concert because the vibe's great. I voted a week before, but a lot of times – I see you voted today, and a lot of times it's just a great vibe to go down and vote and see like-minded people and civic-minded people.
Absolutely. And, you know, Robert, that I believe is a national law that if the polls close while you're still in line to stay in line and you should have the right to vote. And I'm pulling that off the ACLU website for general rights on election day. So I believe that should be all over the country. Some other really great tips that are here. If you make a mistake on your ballot, just ask for a new one. They have to give you a new one and destroy the old one for you. If machines are down at your polling place, ask for a paper ballot. They should have enough. There are laws about that. If you have not registered in Minnesota, you can register the day of. And if you have recently moved, you need to bring proof of your new address if your identification does not read that. But actually, you know, I have a friend that I have to go vouch for today before the polls close. And he just moved and was recently in sober living. So he didn't have an address while he was in sober living that he could use. And now he's just moved. So I am going to do what is called vouching. And I'm going to go vouch for him before the polls close today.
That's awesome. We'll do what you can. People, we have here in Minnesota, I know we have just to under 2 hours. You still have time to call your relatives, give them a ride. This is always, we always say this, but this is the most important election ever. Vote like your life depends on it, your family depends on it, because it does. We'll be right back with Heather Keeler, Representative of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we head towards colder weather, it's important to make sure you're up to date on vaccinations and protected from COVID-19. The Native American Community Clinic is now administering the updated Pfizer bivalent booster. The updated bivalent booster helps protect against the original COVID-19 strain and against newer Omicron variants. And it will help restore protection that has decreased since previous vaccinations. People age 5 and older are now recommended to get an updated bivalent booster dose at least 2 months after their last COVID-19 shot. That means the bivalent booster may be given after a person's primary series or after their last booster shot, regardless of what brand you received before. Even if you've already had COVID-19, you should get vaccinated. Right now, at the Native American Community Clinic, you can get COVID-19 vaccines, including updated boosters, at the same visit as other vaccines. However, if you've received a recent monkeypox vaccine, you may need to wait 4 weeks before you can get a COVID-19 vaccine, and you should discuss this with your provider. Schedule your vaccination appointment with the Native American Community Clinic by calling 612-872-8086.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, it's Rock the Vote Native style here all over civic media. It's election night, and we're really, again, another doer, another hard worker on here. We just had Ruth Buffalo on, and now we have Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler, District 4, I do believe, because we're all messed up here on the numbers tonight. Welcome, Heather. So good to see you. Wow, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel calm in a sense that I know that our teams here in Minnesota have been working really, really hard to register voters, get out the vote, educate about why it's important to show up. And I'm just really confident in our communities that they're going to show up today, and we'll see, I guess, what the results are. And to me, I kind of say, like, the athlete in me likes to know what the landscape is so I know how to maneuver and make change. And so I think that's kind of where we are today, is just seeing what our next steps are and what kind of,
We still have a couple hours left, and not a couple, less than 2 hours left, and there's still time to go vote, and there's still time to call your relatives. There's still time to take people to the polls. State Representative, what do you think is the most important reason to vote?
For the people who can't. I say often, I really show up in spaces to advocate for the next generations. Things that we implement now will impact our kids and their kids. And, it's one thing to show up and vote for yourself and the things that matter to you. It's one thing to show up for your neighbors and your community. It's another thing to show up for our most vulnerable voices. And I think our kids and what we want the future to be matters. And so, I think that that's the most important reason to show up, is that we have to think about our civic duty as something so much bigger than ourselves. And our kids are relying on us. Our kids are counting on us to show up and be a voice for them.
Yeah, definitely. And we always talk about the next seven generations. And could you just talk a little bit about that to our relatives that might not know?
Sure. Well, to us, we just believe that there's an impact of seven generations. And the interesting thing for me that I've really come to light with that is that serving on the Higher Education Committee, you know, that's something that I'm really passionate about. We know that higher education is the lens for us to get to this opportunity of economic growth. But when you look at seven generations with a lot of the timeframes that our colleges were implemented, that the land was taken and colleges were built, that the students who are in college right now are seven generations out from that. And they're some of the most engaged, active, generation and population when it comes to their civic duty to engage. And I love that. I think that that's kind of what can happen, you know, in our seven generation pattern, that what we do has a ripple effect and it impacts the next generations, what generations, you know, before us did impact us. And so when we see the growth and we see the change, when we show up, I think that there's an area of, you know, joy and pride in the fact that for seven generations, we continue to show up and keep kind of challenging our next generations to do better than what we did. And it's not because of lack of trying, it's because we did the best that we could with the resources and things that we had available. So to me, it's that seven generation to really like level up, but make sure that we're making decisions that are mindful for those next generations as well.
Well, Heather, every time you speak, I really get emotional. I just want to say this, too, as a former educator, it is so important to have you and the other Native Americans that are in Minnesota and all across Turtle Island represent our kids, and that they can see somebody as articulate and as smart as you speaking for us and with us and walking side by side with us. So I get really emotional and just listening to you talk.
Well, you know, I came from Indian education world. I tell people often that I was trained to be a liaison. I was trained to listen to my students, listen to their families, listen to the concerns, think of solutions and advocate to the administration for that. And as a state representative, I think that I do the same thing. What I love is the landscape of legislators are changing. We have nurses, we have social workers, we have liaisons, we have stay-at-home moms, we have flight attendants. We have defenders, you know, I mean, like we have people who are really in the business of love, stepping up and being legislators. And I do think that that's going to start to shift the way that we see the outcomes in our state. And I'm just so honored. Like I've been really emotional today thinking about election in 2020 and what I felt then versus what I feel now. And it's overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, I can only imagine all the great work that you're doing. I don't know. I'm just blown away by you, and I can't wait until the next generation picks up the mantle that you, the Lieutenant Governor, and others have put out there. Because it's really, you know, I'm 61, Heather, and in 1978 I was 17. I was a junior in high school, and that was the first year that we could practice our own religion. Mm-hmm. And just think about that, and voting, my relatives couldn't vote, just all these things that have happened. I mean, no one was Indian. No one was proud to be an Indian until possibly the American Indian movement came out of the bushes and started raising hell. And all these Italians and Mexicans came out of nowhere and became Indian. So it was really a bizarre time to live. So I don't know. It's just... I'm seeing history right here in front of me on this radio show, and I get emotional. You're just awesome.
I think too, it's important to recognize what campaigning does. You know, I want us to all kind of pause for a minute, and we know that some people aren't going to win their elections. We know that some people are going to go back and try again, you know, in 2 or 4 years. But I think the way that we've campaigned, we've made ourselves so visible in communities that it's not necessarily just about winning this election. It's about the fact that we keep showing up and we keep highlighting why it's important to be here. We have non-natives that we've educated about protecting our treaty rights and protecting sovereignty. And, you know, I have a couple classmates that I came in with that behind the scenes have really helped educate. And they're non-natives, but they've stepped up and helped us with Line 3. They've stepped up and helped us, you know, in areas of public safety, you know, with our kids and things like that. And so, I mean, I think we're on a path to change. But I do think that how we did the campaign trail this year, You know, our next generation has got to be able to see that we were able to do that statewide. And we had some amazing candidates run outstanding races this campaign cycle, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's hard to run against people that don't stand for anything. It's got to be frustrating, you know. I don't know. Is it frustrating, Heather?
Yeah, I think everybody stands for something. It just depends on if they stand for things that are self-serving or if they stand for things in their community. I think that's more frustrating, is working alongside legislators who really are only there to benefit themselves, their self-growth, their self-gain. You know, and I've said it before, we have self-serving and self-sacrificing legislators. And, you know, to me, it's neutral is detrimental in this work. You really do have to stand for something, and you have to be firm, and you have to have courage to do that. But our Minnesotans need that for sure.
What are your plans after jumping off the show here tonight? Where are you going, or what are you doing? I know I'm going to run downtown St. Paul roughly around 8:39, and I'm going to be live in a couple different radio shows to see what's happening down with Walls and all those other characters down there. What are you going to be doing?
Yeah. after the show, I'm going to go eat some spaghetti with my kids and my mom and just enjoy like the fact that I get to do this with my kids and my family. I get to be in this moment with them and have them experience this with me. And then there's a couple gatherings that are happening, which is really cool because I won in a pandemic the last time, so everything was virtual. Mm-hmm. So it is nice to get out and celebrate the day then and just the work that we've done in this community. So I'll be out stopping a couple places, but most likely we'll be to bed early tonight and kind of just prepare for whatever the creator has for me planning starting tomorrow.
Yeah. I just got to ask you, we only got a minute or so left here in this segment, and then we're going to grab your guests will be on and I'll hand over the show to you. Okay. I'm going to Washington, D.C. early tomorrow morning and flying out there for ICWA. What are your thoughts?
Oh, gosh. You know where my heart is with ICWA. That's a bigger question than probably the minute I have left.
Right.
I think for us as a state, we are extremely committed to looking at our state level policies. What we've seen is the feds can overturn things in a heartbeat, and that means that it falls back on the states to really step up and try to protect some of these spaces. And ICWA, as a licensed ICWA mom for many years and holding and loving newborns in my home, I know how important our ICWA protections are. And I'm dedicated, and I know we have staff here and members that are dedicated to making sure we do what we can to protect our next generation. And family preservation is really the way I look at it. And making sure that our Native babies are connected to culture, because that is one of the most healing components, and community as well. So I'm terrified, but we'll do the best that we can from a state level to protect what we can here in Minnesota.
Right on. And I'll be out there representing the Ho-Chunk Nation and Minnesota. And me, as an adoptee, I'll have a few things to say if people ask. So let's take a break here. And then we're with State Representative Heather Keeler, Ogama, and myself. It's election night here. And now I feel calmer now that State Representative Heather Keeler is calm. So now I'm kind of chill, too. So we'll be back after this short break with Athena Hollins and Cedric Frazier. So, and with State Representative Heather Keeler and Ogama Ganu Akwe. Hey, we'll be right back. Vote, 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 vote. There's still plenty of time. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? You really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weekdays at 2 p.m. for the latest in political news on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Showers and storms tonight with temperatures around 52. More showers and storms on Wednesday with a high of 65. The locally owned Vinaigrette has been offering the finest olive oils and vinegars since 2009. That's Vinaigrette, Xerxes Avenue and 50th Street in Minneapolis, or at VinaigretteMN.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Rock the Vote, Make Voting a Tradition, which is a service of the Native American Community Development Institute out of the Twin Cities. They ran a wonderful website that you can check. It's called makevotingatradition.org. You can make your pledge to vote. I think probably still there. You know, we still have a little less than 2 hours, an hour and a half, before polls close here in Minnesota at 8 p.m. So get out and vote.
Awesome. Hey, well, this is Rock the Vote Native Style, and all over civic media all over the country. I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody listening to us in Wisconsin, because I know we're on 10 stations live in Wisconsin. I want you to say we want to give a shout out to Governor Evers, who's been on the show, Lieutenant Barnes, who's been on the show this last couple weeks. And they're great people, and they're doers, and get out there and get your relatives out to vote. Also, I'm going to be going down to the Intercontinental Hotel for the Minnesota DFL 2022 election night. And Tim Walls, Peggy Flanagan, Steve Simon, Keith Ellison, Julie Blaha, Betty McCollin, and Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith will be there. And so I'll be there too, creeping on them, probably trying to get an interview or something. But hey, we're back with the show, and I want to hand it over to State Representative Heather Keeler.
Thanks. Is it really like creeping on them, or is it hopefully celebrating with all of them, right? Like
that's, a little of both, right?
That's what the party hopefully is. Okay, so we're going to kind of transition into the teamwork piece of, you know, how we do this work. You know, it's one thing to get Indigenous representation at the table. We know, and we have talked about the highlights of that. We've talked about how great it is, you know, to see us there, what we can do when we're sitting at those tables. But you know, to me, we can't really get things done if we don't have active allyship and we don't have members that serve with us that understand protecting our sovereignty, understanding our treaties, understanding the obligation that we sit on 100% ceded treaty territory in Minnesota and our obligations to that. And when you kind of ask, like, who could I bring onto the show to talk, you know, on election night, when we run and we win, we get to decide who we sit on the floor next to. And Representative Cedric Frazier and I got to sit next to each other through a pandemic, through some of these really crazy conversations on the floor. And I'm just so proud of the allyship that he's been able to provide for us in our movements, you know, in Indigenous communities. And so I'm really excited that you're here, Representative Frazier. Thanks for joining us tonight.
How you doing, sister? I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about election night? I feel like, you know, I'm out here, a blue dot in a red sea, just trying to kind of move the wave a little bit. But what's it feeling like for you tonight?
I'm feeling pretty good. I was out earlier today door knocking some apartments. I've been on apartments like the last week or so, trying to get connected to those folks. I don't think we do a great job of reaching out to folks that live in our multi-housing dwelling units throughout the campaign and also in the off seasons or the off cycles. So what I try to do is make sure I make a concerted effort to get out and reach out to my neighbors that live in our apartments. And I got to tell you, I was out this morning with folks, and one of the number one issues that I heard that folks are talking about is, you know, are you going to protect my rights, my abortion rights? This is what women were saying. This is what their partners were saying that are men. And hearing that, and as we go into this determining night now, we're casting our votes, tells me that that's really still a strong issue. It has been a strong issue, will remain a strong issue. And I was happy and proud to say, hey, as a Democrat and as a father of three daughters, I'm absolutely going to fight to protect your rights. And so I hope you go out and vote for us and make sure you protect your rights. And I've been hearing those. I've been having those type of conversations throughout the election cycle. I partner with a couple of friends, James Hagar and Paul Winkler, who, you know, yeah. We put together a program called Dads on the Doors. And we went around to different Senate districts, knocking, just bringing dads together and allies saying, hey, we want to make sure we protect women's rights, protect our daughters, protect our nieces, protect our sisters, and ensure that they're not going to have less rights than their moms or their grandmothers had before them. As long as we're here empowered in the state of Minnesota, we're going to make sure we keep protecting folks.
I love that. I love that you did that. The video and stuff that you guys created was so amazing, because I think that this goes to what I'm saying. Like, acts of allyship is when you step outside of the things that maybe only protect yourself. Like, Representative Frazier is stepping up because of the people that he loves and cares about. And I think that that is what we need, you know, our members to do. So one of the first things that we did when we were elected in 2020 is we went up to line three with Winona LaDuke, and we were in the freezing cold. It was even before we were sworn in. It was one of those first kind of steps that I tried to do as a legislator, was bring my class out to really be educated on the scenes of what was happening up there. Representative Frazier, from that moment or that education opportunity, what did you gain out of it being a representative and protecting our sovereign rights?
I think, you know, and again, you know, Heather, thank you for organizing us and bringing us up there, specifically to the first termers that came in with our class, which I think is one of the most amazing classes.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not biased at all. Of course, we're the best class that's come in.
I think history will show how great we are. Seriously, you know, going up there, it was cold, but I was warmed by the fact that we had so many people turn out to show up and to support Indigenous rights. I felt on that day that we clearly made a stance, and we showed the state that this is what we're for, this is who we're standing with, and this is who we're going to be fighting for. We're going to be allies, we're going to be advocates. We're going to make sure, we're going to be co-conspirators. We're going to make sure that everything we do, we're going to be keeping them in mind and keeping them centered in terms of protecting their rights and protecting that sovereignty, and making sure that we enforce that throughout, whether it be showing up to protest or the type of legislation that we introduce, that we vote for, and that we pass. And I just thought it was a great opportunity to show that solidarity, and just let me know when you want me to come back anytime.
Yeah, I love that. The other thing that I did in the time was started to organize the red dress kind of walk. Mm. I don't know if we'd call it a short walk or it's literally just around Capitol grounds, but. We've been able to, we have red dresses around the Capitol in our offices. We really talk about it. We highlight, the importance around the epidemic, harder to Indigenous relatives. And as you know, Robert, in our first term, we actually established the first statewide murdered and missing Indigenous relatives office here. And I don't want to say that was all us, because a big part of it is Representative Frazier is the vice chair of public safety, and Jamie Beckerfin is the chair of judiciary, and having people in those seats understand the importance of the creation of that office was so important. And so Cedric, talk to us a little bit about, when policies come through in public safety or committees that you have some leadership on, what is your lens of approach to making sure that, we're following through with Indigenous inclusion, making sure we're doing the consultations that we're supposed to be doing from a leadership lens? What are some areas you feel like were really beneficial to support our Indian country?
I always say one of the things that is always asked when we're talking to advocacy groups or associations, and they're asking, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to connect with when you're making decisions in particular areas? And I always come back and I say, I'm going to talk to my friends, anyone that would be from that particular group or that particular community. I'm going to make sure I reach out to them because I have those relationships, and make sure I have a really good grasp and understanding of what this issue is and how it may impact them. One of the things I've been so happy about, Seatmate, is that I can always call you. I can always text you. I can always reach out to ask, are we? And I've done this several times. I always say, hey, What's the Native community thinking about this? How is it going to impact them? Here's the policy. Here's the issue. I'm trying to figure out that I want to make sure that I'm listening to all the interested state parties and anyone that's going to be impacted by it, and making sure I'm taking into mind what their perspective is. And I think that's the most important thing. The relationships are important. Our friends are important. And making sure whenever a policy comes across, any issue we're dealing with in a committee, or any laws we're introducing, that we're making sure we talk to everyone that may be impacted by that and get their perspective to make sure we work it out so that we can do no harm. That's the whole thing. Do no harm, and to empower and to make the lives better for folks.
I love that, because it's so true. That's why representation matters in these seats and in these spaces, and having relationships with each other. You really are family to me. It's crazy how we can know each other for such a short amount of time, but when you get into these deep trenches of major work, you become family with each other, because you have to trust each other in really hard decisions and hard spaces. And I do love, we have a group chat actually that's we call ourselves the Corona class, because for obvious reasons we were elected in the middle of the pandemic. But we have a group chat that we're always sending messages hey, what do you guys think of this? We're talking about this in this committee. We're talking about this over here. And that is why it's so important to know who is on our team. And Representative Frazier, you know how much I care about you and how much I love your advocacy for, our population, your population. But, what's kind of the personal piece to this for you? Why are you running? Why did you decide to come back and run again? What's your why in all of this?
I mean, I think my why has stayed consistent, man. I have three daughters. Two of them are younger. One is not yet in high school, and one is almost out of high school, and then one is almost into her adult years. She's an adult now, but she's about to finish college and go out into the world. And for me, is how can I, as a father, and as a citizen of this world, make sure that that world is as open and as kind and compassionate and accessible to them as possible. That's really my motivating factor. And I run and I continue to run because of that. And I continue to want to serve because of that.
We've tried to talk him into other things. And, you know, at the end of the day, I love that you want to stay in the house with me. And I love that we're going to, you know, like have the opportunity to really move forward. We learned in a weird session. I mean, we learned how to legislate in the middle of a pandemic. And I think our team is really powerful. And I look forward to really doing some awesome work with you. What is a last minute piece of advice you would give to listeners right now? We have a minute left. If there's a piece of advice that you would give, what would it be?
Well, I think right now it's election night and it's not 8 o'clock yet. If you haven't voted, go vote. Make sure your voice can be heard. That's how our democracy works.
If you're in line by eight, stay in line. Don't let anybody make you believe that you have to be in and out by eight. If you are in line by 8 p.m., stay in line. Your tribal ID is a valid ID. You can register on site. Go pick up somebody. Make sure you call all your friends. Pick up your crew on your way. It is too important of an election. We have over an hour left. You have time to get there if you haven't. My dad used to always say, if you don't vote, you can't bitch about the outcomes. So at least if nothing else, go and be a part of democracy. This is a team sport.
We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Rock the vote.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Robert Pilot here telling you about Minnesota Native American art. Did you know that Twin Cities is known for Native art? Well, if you're not familiar, then check out All My Relations Arts. It's a program that seeks to increase the visibility and value of these incredibly talented American Indian artists in all forms of art while honoring the history and the presence of indigenous cultures. And right now, All My Relations Arts is showcasing Rosie Seamus Dance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. This is an immersive installation dance performance created by Rosie Seamus in response to global loss and the collective need to come together in peace and reconciliation. She Who Lives on the Road to War is a place for visitors to rest, grieve, console, and meditate. Performances will take place through mid-December. Find the performance schedule at allmyrelationsarts.com. I love all the indigenous art here in the Twin Cities, and I hope you can enjoy it too. allmyrelationsarts.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey everyone, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Hold on, we have new people on the show that didn't howl with us, Robert.
Oh, do it again. I'll do it. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, howling for the next generations. Howl!
Oh, oh, oh! See?
Wow. That was a good one, Heather. Wow. Was that you, Heather? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that was Athena.
Oh, that was good. Hey, we got Heather Keeler here, State Representative of Minnesota, and she's got another guest here, another ally. Go for it, State Representative Keeler.
Thanks. Yeah, again, following the theme of teammates and what happens and how we show up for each other, right? Like all of us are spread in many different directions tonight. And I absolutely love my classmates because they show up in important conversations. And here's an example. So I have Representative Athena Hollins with me. She's joining us as well. And she was also part of the crew when I talked to Representative Frazier about when we went up to line three right after we got elected, but before we were sworn in, and kind of what that experience was like. And so Representative Hollins, thank you for joining us. You know, we're always kind of talking about, she's from Hawaii and these similarities, you know, in culture and being connected in community and being passionate about those areas. I just really appreciate you hustling to get to a space to be able to join us tonight. It really means so much. But how are you feeling tonight on this election night?
So thanks so much for having me. I'm looking at myself and I'm like, oh, my hair is insane. I've been door knocking all day. I'm sorry.
You're fine. You're fine.
It's okay. It's a radio show, Representative. We're okay.
I'm made for radio.
Okay. Me too.
You know, about the election tonight, I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I think we've really worked hard to get to where we are. And, you know, what I've been telling folks is I know we've left it all out on the table. Like all of our class, Rep. Keeler and Representative Frazier, I know we've all been working really hard. I know that all of the people of color, Indigenous caucus members, have worked really hard to turn out votes, especially from our various, you know, BIPOC communities. And now, you know, it's really up to the voters to mm-hmm. show up and hopefully, you know, feel that passion and excitement that we're trying to bring to the legislature.
That's kind of what I said too. There's like I'm sitting in a weird calm because I feel like we did really good work in session. And, you know, we said we were going to work on things. We came in, we worked on those things, and now we want to go back and continue to work on those things. But we asked Representative Frazier what his takeaway was from that first experience of visiting with Winona LaDuke and, you know, addressing line three, and how that kind of set you up to be a legislator in your first term who was understanding about relationships with our tribal nations. How do you feel like that helped impact you and the work that you do as a legislator?
I mean, I think it was really impactful to be able to actually go to where line three was being dug up and to see that with our own eyes and to experience that. And it's kind of inspired me to try to work more closely with a lot of the different tribal nations that we work with at the legislature, because I think it's one thing to hear about it and it's another thing to see it personally. So one of the groups that I work with kind of closely is Prairie Island, because of the work I do in the climate and energy space. And it's been one of my goals to make it down to Prairie Island so that I can actually see, you know, the conditions in which they are living in and the sort of impact that years of, you know, decades of maltreatment has resulted in for that community, right? I mean, those folks are, you know, living with a constant threat of nuclear waste getting into their water system, infecting their space where their reservation is. Like, I mean, it's just, there's so much there that I think we can hear and know logically, but until you really see it and you see what that day-to-day looks like and you see like children playing near like a defunct nuclear power plant, like you're not gonna understand it until you see that with your own eyes. So that was really my takeaway. And hopefully, I mean, part of my goal is getting more people from the legislature to go do those trips and to, like, you know, have those really meaningful experiences so that they can change their perspective as well.
Right. Well, it's kind of the whole meaning behind tribal consultations, right? Is that it's a relationship. It's going, like, scientifically, the definition of a consultation is a back and forth conversation. It's not just like informing you that something's happening. And I think when we have legislators like Representative Frazier, Representative Hollins, being teammates of ours, they're deeply understanding the importance of those relationships with our tribal nations. And we'll continue to, you know, do that work together. Both of these representatives have come out to Moorhead, which, you know, just for geographic distance, we're about 3.5 hours, you know, away from each other. And so Moorhead is what I consider you know, an urban Indian Mecca without urban Indian supports. And so we have a large population in our community that come from reservations in this region. And so in our last couple minutes, quickly, because I am the 4A representative representing Moorhead, what are just a quick snippet of some of the things that you guys gather from being in the community here with me and what some of the things you learned and hope to uplift in our work together? We'll start with you, Representative Frazier. What's the coolest part about Moorhead and Representative Keeler?
Man, I mean, you took us to the original place where the Dilly Bar was.
Yes, the home of the Dilly Bar.
That was pretty cool. And now I have to come back and bring my kids up so they could experience that.
Right. The Dilly Bar. Gets them every time. How about you, Athena?
The thing that really stands out for me is the last time I was there, you and I were door knocking together and like a car pulled up with like several guys in it. And they were kind of like, Heather Keeler, yelling out of their window. And I thought we were about to be harassed in some way. And instead it was like, you know, people who are community leaders who were like, Heather, we want to make sure people in our apartment vote. We want to talk to you about getting out the vote. How do we do this? And it was so different than being in St. Paul where I represent, because it was like, you're like a celebrity. And in St. Paul, I'm just one of like a billion different like representatives. So it was kind of cool. I felt very fancy walking around with you.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty fancy. We're all pretty fancy when we walk around together. Well, I appreciate both of you. I appreciate our entire class. I know everybody's out working extremely hard. You all have come up with really creative ways to engage community, especially the community that is often overseen, overlooked. And, you know, I keep saying policies have been designed to work against our communities. And now those communities are showing up at the seats to change the way, you know, the systems approach us. And I appreciate doing the work with you. Indian country, I know, is better because of all of us. I know Cedric gave his last minute pitch, but Athena, what is your one pitch to everybody tonight? We're an hour away from polls closing. What can you tell everybody?
I will tell everybody what my dad always told me, which is you got to vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. People fought hard for you to be able to vote. And you don't get to complain if you don't vote. So go vote so you can complain to us.
Our dads are the same. That's the same message my dad used to tell. But also to me, it says that a vote is an active look in the next generation's face, saying we are doing absolutely everything we possibly can to make this state, this region, and this world a better place for you. So your vote matters. Stop saying you'll just push it off until next time. There are too many things that are on the line tonight. I appreciate the work that you are all doing. Robert, as always, thank you for giving us a platform to talk about it. Get out and vote. You got 1 hour left. Stay in line if you're there by 8 p.m.
Hey, Peeny Geegee, Heather Keeler and her crew. Hey, if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. And tonight we need to vote. Stay with us. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll be stopping in with Devil Radio and Matt McNeil's show tonight. We'll see you later.